We have to record in two parts because of the size of each part. So
yes.
Anyway, okay. We want to pray for Roger Morrow, who will have back surgery today. And Roger has, I'll hand these to you in just a second. Roger's had a lot of health issues this last year. It's just been a roller coaster for him. But anyway, today he's getting to have his back surgery. And also, today is Roger's birthday. And so we want to wish him a happy birthday. And
happy birthday, Roger.
Yeah, right. And then we've been asked to pray for Randy Parman, who has some health issues, and he has some testing going on right now, trying to figure out what's going on with him. He's one of our, he's a mail carrier at Cheyenne, but he's one of our faithful listeners, listens to us when he's carrying the mail and sends his prayer requests along. So been hanging in here with us quite a long while. And then we want to pray for Debbie Hooper, who fell and broke her left arm in two places, which she had to have surgery to repair the breaks. Okay. And many people that are listening probably remember Debbie Hooper is the wife of our last pastor at Cheyenne. They've been gone a couple of years now, but anyway, they were with us probably 10 years, and they live over in Norman now.
Okay.
And then we've been asked to pray for Connor Kirk, who's in the Weatherford Hospital with COVID. So if you can read my writing, Roger Morrow, Randy Parman, Debbie Hooper, and
Connor Kirk,
yeah.
Okay. Well, Father, we come before you. Lord, in Exodus, your name, one of the names that you are called by is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. Lord, we come to you and we thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha. And not only are you the God who heals us, but you are also Jesus Christ who took the stripes on your back, that by your stripes we would be healed. Lord, we pray today and we lift up our brothers and sisters in faith, and we pray for Roger Morrow, God, that during this back surgery, Lord, that you would be with him, that you would steady the hands of every surgeon, of the anesthesiologists, the nurses. God, they would work as a solid team, that they would perform their duties with excellence. Lord, I pray that you would steady their hands and give them wisdom in every area. And God, what doctors can do still requires healing. And so we pray that after the doctors have done what they can do, that there would be healing through the stripes of Jesus into Roger's life. Lord, we pray for Randy Parman, Lord, for the health issues that he's facing. God, I pray that you would give the doctors wisdom and that they would find the source. And Father, then we could start to claim and proclaim that whatever that source is beneath the name of Jesus, that Jesus, you are the name above all names, including whatever Randy's facing in his life. So we pray for healing by the stripes of Jesus. Lord, we pray for Debbie Hooper. And Lord, I just pray for healing in her arm. God, I pray that you would allow her arm to heal quickly, faster than what doctors could even think or imagine, because God, you do things that are above and beyond what we could ever possibly dream of. And so, Lord, I just pray for a quick and fast healing in Debbie, also for Connor Kirk, that God, you would heal him. Lord, we come against COVID in the name of Jesus. COVID, you are a disease from the pit of hell, sent to destroy, but our God is a healer. And Lord, I pray that you would heal Connor in the Weatherford Hospital, that in that hospital bed, God, your spirit would go and you would minister healing into his life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We do want to thank some of our sponsors now. Refuge Church is at 18304 East 1140 Road at Sayre. Now, they've moved from their building that they've been in for quite a long while. They're in the New Liberty Church building, and so you'll have to check that out. I checked last week, and from Four Corners at Highway 6 and 283, it's 3 miles west, and then it's a couple miles back north. I mean south, the other end of north, south. So if you are interested in that church, you can call Pastor Tammy Bailey. We call her Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. I think I shared that with you yesterday about Sister Juanice that used to come, and I'd say, I'll tell you, they can hear her in Cheyenne without a microphone, and Tammy's a lot that same way. She's full of power and the Lord. They have Sunday school at 10, Sunday worship at 10:45, evening worship, Bible study at 6, and Wednesday Bible study at 7. They also have a youth group at 7. If you need more information about the Refuge Church, you can call Pastor Tammy at 729-0956. And then Prophetic Voice Ministries at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City has Sunday school at 9:30, church at 11, church again at 6 on Sunday evening, and then they have a Tuesday evening prayer meeting and a Thursday evening Bible study. Apostle Casey Elliott will bless your heart. And as I said earlier in the program, Joshua's Crossing Ministry is our Facebook sponsor today. We appreciate the opportunity to serve from this building. And if you need some counseling, you can call Les at 729-0743, 729-0743. He doesn't keep regular hours, but you can get a hold of him on his cell phone. If he doesn't answer, just leave him a message, and he will meet you on a time frame that's convenient for you, even if it's after hours. So we thank each one of those sponsors. Now let's hear from some of our other sponsors.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
Bart Ison Ford was recently awarded the Ford President's Award for the 5th time. We want to thank our customers as we celebrate this prestigious award. We love what we do, and you're the reason we're the number one auto dealer of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle.
They're loyal to me, and I'm loyal to them. For us at PK & Company, we always buy our vehicles at Barbara Dyson Ford, now and forever.
All of us here at Hutchinson will love the people and the trucks we get at Barbara Dyson.
I buy all my family vehicles as well as my company vehicles for Smith Ag from Barbara Dyson.
Come experience the difference at Barbara Dyson Ford and check us out at BarbaraDysonFord.net.
Whoop, we almost had an outro. We're not ready for the outro. I don't care what happens here. I just wasn't quick enough. So with us this morning is Pastor Nate Hicks from Grandview Church and bringing us a great lesson this morning. Yeah. Lots of great information that we can soak in. And one thing you mentioned early that just kind of triggered something in my mind is one of the things that we pray often is, Lord, let people see you in us. Don't just see us. Let people see you first in us. That's the important thing. Have so much of him in you that when you walk into an area, that reflects, that you reflect him, not yourself.
Yes. Yes. I agree 100%. And I have also, I just tell off on myself because if I tell stories about you, people get mad. So I could tell about myself. One day I woke up, had a great, great morning devotional, had been listening to worship songs all, and I got so caught up in my Bible study and in my personal quiet time that I was late getting to work. So I didn't eat breakfast at home. I stopped at a convenience store on the way, but I walked in and I was still so pumped about just being in God's presence that morning, and I'm whistling some praise and worship, and I walk up to pay for my donut and my chocolate milk, and the lady behind the register said, "Well, you sure are happy today." And I said, "Yeah, I'm just a happy guy." And I paid and walked out of the store, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit was so heavy that somebody noticed me in your life, and you took the glory. And so sometimes we have to be prepared that when people see it, they're going to say things, and we have to know what you're seeing isn't just me. You're seeing God in me. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, I had that similar thing happen. We were in Altus. Joe had a doctor's appointment. We went to eat, and this older gentleman came up to me, and he said, "You are just such a happy person." And I said, "You know why?" And he said, "Why?" And I said, "Because I have the Lord living in me."
Yes.
And he said, I knew it. I found out later, you know, he is a really godly Christian guy, but he recognized that. Now, maybe somebody else wouldn't have. I don't know. But, you know, I said, yes, that's because I have the Lord living in me.
Right.
And he just, you know, thanked me for being so cheerful and for loving the Lord and all that. And so it's important, very important that
it
we
is.
Do give him the credit. Yeah. And that people see him in us.
Yes. Very important. And I think that's part of, if we're going to pray for our community, we can't pray for our community and walk out and despise it and treat it like trash, right? The people that are in our community, that is. And it's really hard. It's really hard to stay upset or angry or to be mad at people you're praying for, isn't it? Or sometimes it seems like it is. It's a little bit easier to have compassion and mercy and all the things that we're shown by God, we're able to show those because he first loved us.
Right.
And so that's what we're supposed to convey is we're supposed to be Christ's ambassadors. And that was in my my Bible reading this morning was in 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul says we're Christ's ambassadors. That everywhere we go, we're supposed to represent the King of Kings.
That's right.
Yeah.
I have no comment there. You're right. Monica's getting the microphone, though, so I think she's got a comment.
It's good. My bonus daughter, Kaylin, since I've been doing the program, I made the decision that I'm going to get up and I'm going to show up because I want change. Mm-hmm. I was tired of being angry and hurt. And I didn't know that my bonus daughters had been watching the Hour of Power. And she reached out to me about a year ago. And she says, she started reaching out because she wanted help. She wanted to get clean. She wanted to change. And she reached out to me and she said, I want what you got. And Monica popped her head up and was like, what you mean? What do I got that you want? What do you mean? And she said, you're not angry no more. You're not angry anymore.
Right.
I want that. And I just melted. And I said, well, you can't have mine. But let me tell you how I got here. The key is Jesus.
Right.
Jesus is the key. And you have your own treasure. And if you accept Jesus, he will open the treasure chest. And your treasure chest has your name on it.
Yes.
And today, she is clean. She has graduated rehab. And she's a year sober now.
Praise
and
God.
She accepted Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And she got baptized. And she's doing way better. And her only thing is she says, I wish I would have done it before. And that was what I said, you know, that's the only thing. I wish that I would have received it sooner. Mm-hmm. Because not being angry is so wonderful.
Right.
Having that peace and that joy back. And I allowed the enemy to steal that from me. And it's just, he's the key, and we can, and it's ours. We just have to take it back.
That's right. And what was the pivotal point for you to take back what the enemy had stolen from you throughout your lifetime? What was your key?
And Jesus is always the key, but that's kind of the Sunday school answer when your kids come out of Sunday school. What'd you learn? We learned about Jesus. Like, okay, but what else? Specific. But is there something specific that was a...
I always felt like growing up, I had a twisted... I believed that Jesus was for all them, but not me. I was convinced by the enemy that I was nothing, mm-hmm. and that he did it for everyone but me. And whenever I lost my daughter and I relapsed very hard into methamphetamines and drinking, my son came over one day, and the Lord showed me, when I looked at my baby's face, the Lord showed me the hurt. And the Lord said, you know, he's mourning the loss of his dad. He's mourning the loss of his sister. And he's mourning his mom, who is still here. And I just crumbled. Yeah. I crumbled. And I said, Lord, help me, please. I want that relationship back with my son. My son should not have to grieve his mother. Who is still breathing and walking this earth.
Right.
God, I can't. I came to a place that I realized Monica didn't have it. Monica was not okay.
Right.
And Monica needed help. And for me, that's always been a really hard thing to admit. Is Monica needs help.
And it's hard for a lot of people.
And I didn't realize how mentally ill I had become until that moment. But God, he is so faithful. I was far from faithful. But he loved me enough to pursue me and then began to woo me.
And he spoke to you through probably one of the greatest loves that exists on planet Earth is because between a mother and a child. So isn't it great that God chases us and that even when we feel like we're in exile, like Israel and Babylon, that God is still working things out. Mm-hmm. And the reason he's working things out is so that we seek him and not the things and not anything besides who God is. He wants us to seek him. And if we do that, that's his promise, a hope and a future. And it's great to see people who've had hope come alive in them, right?
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. And only God can do that. Monica, and you got another 2 cents?
I had become so selfish and self-centered. I got into this circle of self-centeredness that only Jesus could walk me out of.
Right. Right. And it's one of the scariest things that that we see is we do always tend to isolate ourselves in a bubble of the people we're around and the places we frequent. And I've watched it many times, whether it be student athletes at the college level who came to play sports in college and then realized that maybe college sports wasn't their thing, but because sports had been their life, they were just lost. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't have a direction, and so then they fall into, well, our friends are partying, our friends are doing these things, and so they end up there. And you know, it's good to see whenever finally people hit that place where they say, God, you're all I have left. that God is still there.
Right.
That God hasn't abandoned us.
He never leaves us or forsakes us, does he?
That's right. But, you know, if you're in exile, if you're in your Babylon, and Babylon's symbolic throughout Scripture for a place where God's not present, or a place where God's being really more of a demonic stronghold than it is anything else. But as people are there, there's still a God who loves them. Mm-hmm. There's still a God who wants to see you and your family restored, healed, put back together. God wants to see you have a hope and a future. And it's a miserable existence when we've lost hope. Mm-hmm. And that's probably one of the biggest things that we have to fight for on a daily basis is hope. Mm-hmm. Because the enemy's going to tell you it's hopeless. Mm-hmm. The world's going to tell you it's hopeless. If you turn on the news, it's going to tell you it's hopeless for sure. And so we have to, where do we get hope? Well, it comes through our prayer. And I believe in our prayer for others. If you recall the story of Job, he gets to the end of his life. Well, not the end of his life, but the end of his trial, mm-hmm. I should say. And the Bible says that it's when he began to pray for his friends that God restored all of his family and finances and cattle and sheep and all the things that he owned. God restored it seven times over. But it all began by praying for someone else instead of being inward focused, focusing on those around us, mm-hmm. who's God's put in our life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we should never forget our responsibility of praying for others and reaching out to others. And just like you mentioned early on, being part of the community. Yeah. I mean, we're in a mission field, period. No matter yes. where we live, it's a mission field. Because one of the things our pastor pointed out Sunday was how many people claim to be a Christian, but hardly ever attend church. I mean, you take how many claim to be a Christian, then you look at how many attend church. And then of those that attend church, how many really have a close walk with the Lord, daily prayer, daily in the Bible, and reaching out to their neighbors. And I know one of the thoughts that the enemy puts in our brain is, they already know we have church at 10 o'clock on Sunday. You know, I've invited them before. They don't need to invite them. That's a lie from the enemy. It's good to continue to encourage. I look at a young man that lives here in Elk City now that used to live in one of our rentals in Sayre, and he was a single guy. He had his son, and I would invite them to Cheyenne to the Baptist Church when we would have special events. Mm-hmm. And so, special events with food.
Yes. You know?
And he always came. And that man is walking with the Lord now. He's leading the singing at the church he goes to here in Elk City. He moved from Sayre over here to Elk and took a job. And he's really sick right now with unbelievable cancer. But we're believing that God's going to heal that. But he came to know the Lord because he got exposed, for one thing, and because somebody cared about him.
Yes.
And I continued to invite him every time we had something special. And then he came one time when there wasn't anything special. I said, I'm so ashamed I only invite you when there's something special going on. He said, I know you have church every Sunday. He said, so it's not your fault, but I would always make sure he was invited to the food things, you know, that we had, fellowship things that we had, church and then fellowship. And he's walking with the Lord now. And his son is too, and his son's wife. I mean, just praise God. And it just took reaching out to him and inviting so he knew somebody cared. And that's what we need to do.
Right. It's very simple. It's a very simple process of just, I reach out because I love you. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, that's what God did for us, that mm-hmm. while we were still sinners, mm-hmm. he came for us. Mm-hmm. And right. that's the heart of the gospel. And so if we are Christians, which means Christ-like ones, mm-hmm. then we should act like Christ, who came for us while we were still sinners.
Right.
And sometimes we forget the mess that God pulled us out of.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of get cleaned up and we start to act a little bit more righteous. And mm-hmm. if we're not careful, we could borderline on self-righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember, I was no better than anybody else that I will deal with in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And God saved me.
You know, Monica has a saying I really like. She says, God can take our mess and make a message out of it.
Yes.
And that is so true. That's
very true.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it happen time and time again. And we're going to see more of it. One of the things that we're praying for. You okay? You, You need a drink too, don't you? Yeah. But one of the things we're praying for at Grandview is that we pray almost daily for prodigal sons and daughters to come home. Mm-hmm. Just, there's a lot of prodigals. There's a lot of people who have been told, who have heard, but for some reason they're just not living it day to day. And so we're praying, God, send the prodigal sons and daughters back. Bring them back. Let us reach them. And if we don't reach them, let another church reach them. Let somebody reach the prodigal sons and daughters. And, you know, I think that's really the heartbeat of what revival is, is the children of God coming back home.
Yeah. Well, we seldom ever have a prayer that we don't pray for our children who are not walking close to the Lord. Our children, our grandchildren, almost without exception, when we pray, I pray for those needs, because while I know my own biological children accepted Christ and were baptized at one time, and they're good people, but they're not really walking close to the Lord, and that's a concern, you know, to me, because they're missing so much that the Lord has for them. So much joy, so much peace, just so many blessings that God has for us in our everyday life. Direction, you know, wisdom, just all those things that he has just sitting there waiting for you to be part of that and to accept him. And so that's heartbreaking as a parent when you see your kids are missing out on those things when they could be so much, their life could be so much more peaceful, so much more lighthearted, so much, just all those things. Monica, you got your microphone up there again. Monica's an artist.
I do artwork.
Okay. Is this one of your pieces?
Yes, sir. So, I was spending time with the Lord one day when I was doing my artwork. I was feeling down and discouraged, and depression was trying to set in. And the Lord's already walked me out of that valley. And I seen it. And then the Lord showed, well, yes, sir. The Lord showed it, then gave me what I needed to create it so that I could use it to glorify him.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for the words. I was in a very dark valley. A very dark valley in my life. But God, he met me in my valley and gave me victory. And that happened by getting anchored. And there's a little anchor. Getting anchored. Even in the valley. In the lowest of the low, I anchored myself to my Jesus. And my pastors, Pastor Sharon, my spirit mom, she taught me how to worship. She taught me how to worship with my whole heart.
Yes.
And whenever I began to worship with my whole heart, that was my love letter to my Lord. And then my peace came.
Yeah.
I don't know what valley you're in, but I can promise you, Jesus will come and meet you right there. And anchor yourself to him. Your words of worship is the love letter. It is the proper response to love.
There's a kind of a three-step process throughout the Bible, but if you need strength, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you need strength, what do you need to get? The joy of the Lord.
The joy of the Lord.
Well, how do we get the joy of the Lord?
Go to him.
Well, David wrote that in his presence is the fullness of joy. So we got to get into his presence to get joy. And then once we get joy, we get strength. So in his presence is a fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But how? So how do we get into his presence? Well, David also wrote that we enter his gates with thanksgiving. Okay, but does the king sit at the gate of the city? Now, where does the king sit? In the courtroom. And we enter. So it says, David said, we enter his gates with thanksgiving. So we start with thanks, but we enter his courts with praise. And so if you need strength, well, the joy of the Lord is our strength. In his presence is the fullness of joy. I get into his presence with praise. And there's a power that praise releases of the joy of the Lord that gives us strength.
Whenever I started going back to church, the Lord put on my heart, and I was so looking at what I was missing, what was taken, what was gone. Mm-hmm. I lost sight of what was still in front of me.
Yeah.
And the Lord told me, he said, put me in the place where your husband was. Put me in the place where your daughter was. Begin to thank me for the time you had. And I didn't really get it at first, but I did it anyway. Mm-hmm. I was like, Lord, okay. I loved my husband this way. You are not my husband. And I will have the pillow talk that I had with my husband with you. And my daughter became my best friend. She would come over and have coffee with me every morning. So I began to have my coffee with my Jesus every morning. And it's God is so faithful.
Amen.
If we just soften our hearts to hear his direction, he will give it, and it will be so sweet.
Amen. Amen.
Hope and future.
That's right.
Hope and future.
Hope in the future. Nate, would you like to pray to take us out of the program today?
Yeah. Father, you're good. God, we do not know what today will hold. We do not know where our paths are going to lead us. We don't know what people we're going to come across. But God, I pray that for myself and for everyone listening, that God, you would use our lives to glorify you. That God, everywhere we go, let us be a fragrance. Let us be ambassadors. Let us be that fragrant perfume that Paul wrote about, that people just can smell and taste and see something different in our lives. God, I pray that you would help us in our darkness. God, that's not what you have planned for us. And that while we're there, God, you're growing our character. You're growing our competence. You're growing our faithfulness. And so, God, let us not lose sight of you in the middle of the darkness. But God, you are the light that penetrates the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome you. So Father, I pray that you bless your people. Keep your hand of protection upon them. God, give us a hope and a future that we can rely on, that we can stand up in the middle of everything that's going bad and say, our God is good. Our God will come through. Our God will make a way where there seems to be no way. God, give us the tenacity to never let go of what you've promised. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you missed any part of this lesson today, you'll be able to see it on Facebook in just a couple of seconds after the program's over. We'll have it posted on our website, therockchristianmusic.com. You can send people there if they don't have Facebook or don't do Facebook. Send them there. Have them click on the Hour of Power. And then go to Wednesday to hear this message. Or if you have a friend that doesn't do Facebook, just take your phone or your iPad over to their house and share this lesson with them. From me, Neva, from Tina, from Monica, from Pastor Nate, have a blessed day, and we will see you back in here tomorrow.
Bye.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.